James 4:11, we'll read just the first line of that verse. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Well, tonight, with the Lord's blessing, we'll start a new Puritan study called Richard Baxter on Backbiting or Gossip. Backbiting is just what it sounds like. Biting somebody in the back. You ever done that? Well, I have. With my teeth, I haven't. But I've done it many times with my words. And I suspect if you're honest, you'll admit that you have too. Nearly everyone gossips some. And some people do little else in life but gossip. But whether you're a little gossip or a big gossip, all backbiting is wrong and hurtful. If you backbite others, even a little, you ought to repent of your sin and put your words to a better use. Under the blessing of God, Richard Baxter can help you do that. His study is made up of three parts. The third part is he tells us how evil backbiting is, all the terrible results that follow from it. In the second part, he tells us how to quit backbiting. But before he comes to these parts, he explains exactly what backbiting is. And what he does is gives us a series of questions and answers, which he calls cases of conscience. He explains to us precisely what backbiting is and what it's not. I think there's 10 or 12 questions in this first section, and tonight we'll look at about the first half of them, all right? And so the subject is backbiting. It's evil, it's cure, but first, its definition. What is backbiting? Well, first question Baxter asks is this: may I not speak evil of that which is evil and call everyone truly as he is? Am I allowed to call evil evil? And can I describe a person as he really is? Or do I have to flatter people? That's the question. And the answer is this: you must not speak a known falsehood of any man under the pretense of charity. But you are not to speak all the evil of every man which is true. So if you do it without a calling, you sin against his honor and in many other ways offend. Now, that's a good answer. How do you describe a bad person? We all know bad people. Some people are dishonest. Some people are liars. Some people are lazy. Some people are cruel to their families. Some people are obvious hypocrites. Pretending to be wonderful Christians on Sunday, they live like Satan Monday through Saturday. But how do you describe a bad person? If you say he's a good person, you're lying. And that must be wrong. But if you say he's a bad person, you're speaking evil, and that too is wrong. Which is better to do? Well, neither is better, for both are condemned by God's word. If you can't lie about him or backbite him, what do you say about him? What do you say? And the short answer to that is, you say nothing. The Lord does not command you to evaluate every man's character and pass public judgment on him. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, there is a time to speak and there is a time to refrain from speaking. Unless there's some compelling reason to speak out against someone, just keep your mouth shut. Here Baxter gives a very telling example. To speak evil of your parents, though never so truly, is a sin against the fifth commandment. So if you do it without a call, you sin against them. Now that's a very sharp point. Watch all the talk shows in the morning and afternoon, and you'll see about two-thirds of them are adult children griping about their parents, saying their parents neglected them, abused them, didn't give them the love they needed, didn't build their self-esteem, blah, blah, blah. Adult children on television blasting their parents. I'll never forget having lunch with a woman years ago, and we were having a very friendly conversation when somehow or other her mother came up. You thought she was talking about Adolf Hitler. She suddenly got an ugly look on her face, and she began tearing into her mother, and for the next 45 minutes or an hour, she didn't say a kind word about her mother. Now, many believers do this. My friend was not alone. You must honor your parents, whether they're Christians or not. Why? Because good or bad, loving or neglectful, your parents are still your parents, and you owe them your respect. The fifth commandment has never been repealed. Honor father and mother. If you can't say good things about your parents, say nothing at all. That's the advice that Baxter gives, and truer advice has never been given. But what about that in general, not your parents only? What about in general? Somebody at your work or somebody at your school or somebody in your church even is a real scoundrel. You really would like to speak out against him. You'd love to backbite him, but you know you shouldn't do that, and yet you don't want to flatter him. So what do? You just say nothing at all. That's what you do. That's number one. What about number two? Here's the second question. Is it not sinful silence and a consenting to the sins of others to say nothing against them because you are sensitive to their honor? How about that? That's kind of wordy. Let me put it in plain English. If you don't denounce someone's sin, aren't you kind of, well, agreeing with it, approving of it? And here's what he says. He says, if you do not warn the offender in love between him and you when you have the opportunity and just cause, it is sinful to be silent then. But to silence backbiting is not sin. What does the Lord tell us to do when we see someone sinning? He tells us to talk to that person face to face and alone. He never tells us to rebuke the person behind his back. He never says, if your brother sins against you, backbite him. Reproof often does good, but gossip never ever does any good. How can it? If I'm doing wrong, how do you help me by telling somebody else what I'm doing? Backbiting can result in nothing but pride and contempt and malice and bitterness. And so when you see people's faults, mine or anybody else's, if you don't feel free to talk to the person who's offending, talk to nobody at all. If you want to help someone, talk to him and not to other people about him. Now that's hard to do. Let's face it. Calling someone on his sin is difficult. You run the risk of losing a friend. You run the risk of getting into a big argument, maybe even getting punched in the nose. It's hard to call a person on his sin. It's a whole lot easier to talk behind his back. But the point here is not doing the easy thing. The point is doing the right thing. And so Baxter says, you are not consenting to someone's sin by not backbiting him. In fact, by backbiting him, you're just adding to his sin and making it harder for him to repent. So that's the second question. Here's number three. May I not speak that which honest, religious, credible persons report to me? How about that? What if someone you really respect comes to you with gossip? Now, this person is known to be a truthful person. You've known him for years. He's very reliable. He's not the kind of person who takes pleasure in backbiting, yet he comes to you and says, let me tell you about Harry. Can you listen to his report and then repeat it to others? Well, here's what Baxter says. Not without both sufficient evidence and a sufficient calling. Now, I hope you think I'm an honest man. But if I tell you Joe is up to no good, you are not permitted to take my word for it. To believe it, you need sufficient evidence. And according to the Bible, one man's testimony is not enough, no matter how trustworthy he is. If you check into the matter and five other people say the same thing, you've got to find out. Do they know it firsthand or only by hearsay? Maybe I've told five other people before I told you. If by hearsay, all it means is I've talked to them first. But if they know it firsthand, then you have good reason to believe that Joe is up to no good, and you can believe that he's up to no good. But even that doesn't give you the right to cast his faults to the four winds. You've got to have not only sufficient evidence to believe, but also a sufficient cause or a necessary reason to speak out against him. Many sins are real, but need to be overlooked. More serious sins need to be reproved. Very serious sins may require church discipline, but no sin has to be posted on the internet. There is no sin that you can legitimately gossip about. As much as possible, we ought to guard each other's reputations because our reputations are of great value. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen before great riches. And because it's so hard to repair the reputation once it's broken. I remember a political figure back in the 1980s was accused of some kind of crooked behavior, and he lost his job as a result, and he went to court, and after a long trial, he was found completely innocent of all wrongdoing. At the end of the trial, he said, when asked, what do you think? He said, who's going to give me back my reputation? The court found me not guilty, but my name is linked to scandal of which I'm not guilty. And so, we need to be very careful about this. Again, we are not to believe charges against people unless we have sufficient evidence. And even when we have sufficient evidence, we have no right to broadcast these faults to other people. And so, the answer to that question is no, you don't. You don't have the right to believe and broadcast every fault you hear about other people. Number four, may I believe the bad report of an honest, credible person? That's similar to an earlier question. Here's the answer. You must first consider whether you may hear it or meddle with it. And if it be a thing that you are called to judge, yet every honest man's word is not presently to be believed. You must know if it is a thing that he saw or only takes upon report, and what his evidence and proof are, and whether he is not engaged by interest or passion, or whether he is used to rash reports and uncharitable speeches, and what is said on the other side, especially allowing the accused person to defend himself. Now this one paragraph deserves a sermon or maybe a book. It's just jam-packed with wisdom. The question is, may I believe a bad report about you if the person who tells me is known to be honest and reliable? And Baxter says, yes, I may believe that bad report when several conditions are met. Here they are. Number one, is it any of my business? If it's not my business, I shouldn't even listen to it. It may be perfectly true, but I'm not required to listen in on everyone's fault. If it is some of my business, then I ought to ask, could the accuser be wrong? Is it possible that he's lying? Is it possible that he's innocently mistaken? And the answer to these questions is yes. It's possible that he is lying. The most honest person fudges the truth once in a while. And again, the most honest person with a good conscience can be sincerely mistaken. So I'm not allowed to accept the report merely on that one person's word. Then thirdly, did the accuser see the sin himself, or is he just repeating what somebody told him? I tell you, well, I saw Billy drunk. Or I say, Billy gets drunk. Now what you need to know is, did I see him get drunk? Or did I merely hear somebody else tell me he saw him get drunk? There's an enormous difference. And then number four, does the accuser have any proof? I saw Billy drunk. Prove it. You've said it, but prove it. Number five, does the accuser have a motive to speak evil of the person? Is there some reason within me that makes me want to find Billy drunk or to tell you about it? Now here, get off Billy and talk about a real person. Some years ago, I got a letter from a man whom I just barely knew. And the letter was just really, really vicious. It wasn't about me. It was about somebody else, about a mutual acquaintance of ours. And the letter was really vicious and said this woman is a gossip, that she's a troublemaker, that she's a schismatic, that she doesn't obey her husband, that she's evil to her children, that blah, blah, blah. Terrible letter. And you know, I know this woman very well, and basically everything in the letter is true. But the man who wrote me the letter didn't know that I knew something. He didn't know that I knew that he proposed to that woman's daughter, and the woman told the daughter that she could not marry him. In other words, this man had an ulterior motive. He had a secret reason, not secret to me, but secret to most people. He had a secret reason to think evil of this woman, and therefore, I took his report as worthless. Then number 6, does the accuser have a record of hasty and harsh judgments? Is he the kind of person who shoots off his mouth? Is he the kind of person who tends to see everything in the worst possible light and to exclude counter-evidence because, well, it doesn't fit his theory? And then I have to ask, have I heard the other side? And then most importantly, have I let the accused person defend himself? Someone comes to me and says, I saw Billy drunk. I said, you're a reliable guy, I believe that. Well, why don't I go ask Billy if he got drunk last night? Why don't I look into it myself? Maybe the man was staggering around, but maybe he was just playing a joke. Or maybe he had taken some allergy medicine that intoxicated him. There are many possible reasons for this kind of behavior. And so I've got to let the accused person at least give him a chance to defend himself. Even the Pharisees said our law judges no man without hearing him. Until you can answer yes to all these questions, you've got no right to believe an evil report, and even less right to pass it along as true. Here's number 5. May I not speak evil of those who are enemies to God, to religion and godliness, or to open persecutors of the church? Here there's no question about the man's spiritual state. He's an open opponent of Christianity. Maybe he's a pornographer. Maybe he favors abortion. Maybe he's mocking and blaspheming the Lord's name constantly. There's no question about the man's character. He's a bad person. And so since I know he's a bad person, am I allowed to say anything I want to about him? Baxter says, you may on all proper occasions speak evil of the sin, but of the persons only when you have a just call and not at your own pleasure. What about people who are bad, notoriously bad through and through? Am I allowed to say anything I want to about them? Baxter says, no, I'm not. I'm allowed to criticize sin as much as I want, but I'm not allowed to falsely accuse anybody. He says that you may not even belie or tell lies about the devil. Now that's interesting, isn't it? And this has some application to our political leaders, right? I think it's fair to say that our political leaders, many of them, are just notoriously anti-Christian. And I think we have every right and duty in the world to condemn their views on abortion and other things. But I'm not allowed to believe every rumor about our political leaders, and I'm not allowed to gossip about them without real solid proof and reason. Not gossip, but accuse them without real solid proof or reason. Now, it's interesting that Richard Baxter says this because he lived through the most turbulent age in British history. Charles I was beheaded, the only king ever executed in England. Oliver Cromwell ruled for about 15 years as a dictator. Charles II tried to turn England back to the Pope. James I was overthrown. And all kinds of corrupt political things went on in those days. And Baxter says, you're still not allowed to believe every rumor about these scoundrels, no less to repeat them. And he makes a special point of saying, we've got to be careful when we enjoy our criticism, when we take pleasure in repeating the president's misdeeds, when we feel good about the evil and corrupt things our senators or judges have done. In short, if it feels good, don't do it. And then number 6, what if it be one whose honor and credit promote a bad cause and his dishonor would disable him to hurt others? Answer, you may not lie about the devil or wrong the worst man in order to do good. God does not need malice nor injustice to promote his glory. It is an ill cause that cannot be maintained without such means as these. This, I think, is one of Baxter's most important points. What do you say about a bad person whom everyone else thinks is good? You just know that he's a hypocrite, and that in time he's going to break the hearts of people who are now following him. If you could just find some way to discredit him, you could save his followers from so much grief. Are you allowed to do it? The short answer is, you say you're allowed to say nothing that isn't true and proven. You may feel that he's a bad person, but feelings are not enough to lodge an accusation. You have to know beyond a reasonable doubt that he's evil, and you have to have proof of it, or you've got to keep your mouth shut. In short, you may not do evil that good may come. If you do, you're no better than the man you're supposedly trying to save people from. You want to save people from him because he's misleading them, because he's in sin. And yet you're misleading also because you're in sin. And so, we may never do evil that good may come. We may never sinfully accuse a person in order to save people from his bad influence. Now, if half of what I've said is true, we have a lot to repent of. How often have you believed rumors, not because they were proven, but because you wanted to believe them? They agreed with your prejudices, or they were tasty morsels, or they made you look really good by comparison. Now, if you're to live in love and truth, you've got to quit doing these things, even if others think you're gullible and naive. It's better to be criticized by men than by God. And here's what God says about listening to and repeating false rumors. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is shame and folly to him. So let's remember that we're held to a higher standard than other people are. And why shouldn't we be? We're children of God. And our Father wants us to be like He is. He wants us to be just and loving. And I pray the Lord will make us this way for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, hearing these words convicts us of our sins, of our gossip, of the pleasure that we've taken in listening to it. And I pray that You'd forgive us of these sins and not just leave it at that, but also, Lord, that You would cleanse us from these sins, that we'd quit doing them, and that from now on we'd be a savor of life rather than a savor of death. And I pray, Lord, that as much as lies within us, we can speak positively about everyone. And when this is really impossible, Lord, that we would learn to keep our mouths shut, that we wouldn't gossip and dishonor You by our proud and stubborn ways. Thank You, Lord, that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. And yet, Lord, we don't want that blood to excuse our sin, to be used as an excuse for our sin. Lord, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And yet You write these things to us that we might not sin. So help us, Lord, in these things, for Christ's sake. Amen.